Hey, I'm Ralph from Mousesports, and you're listening to TCR.
Okay, so let's start.
Hello. Hello and welcome back to another edition of The Center Ring, aka TCR, aka your favorite esports podcast, episode 149, coming to you live, pre-recorded from an undisclosed location. The date, March 18th, 2019. The time, 8:55 p.m. Today is going to be the best episode ever. We have stage one of Overwatch League is done with, or at least the regular part of it. We have playoffs coming up. We will discuss that a little bit later on in the show. Of course, we'll end with e-news, as we always do. Our favorite topic of things we just don't have time to get to. And we're going to talk some CWL Fort Worth that was in our very own backyards. Even though we were not able to attend, that doesn't mean we're not going to talk about it. Also talk about franchising in esports, see if that is the death of esports as we know it. Some think so. So we'll discuss that later on. Before we get into all that, though, some show house cleaning, as we do sometimes. Again, I said it last week. We did start a new YouTube series. I think that's what you would call it, a YouTube series.
Sounds good.
Table Talk with TCR. Basically, take an e-news topic that we just didn't have time to get to during the show. Well, now we just did a one-off on YouTube for it. So, Nuge and I just did one the other day. We talked about Halo being announced for the PC. So, we talked about that for 15, 20 minutes. So if that's something you're into, go ahead and check us out on YouTube, just The Center Ring. You can find it all on Twitter, at The Center Ring as well. And you can enjoy that for yourself. And smash that subscribe button, as the YouTubers say. Smash it. Hit the bell, right? That's what all the cool kids say. Also, exciting news. So if you are a fan of Envy, and even if you're not, right? It's just a good esports podcast. But Envy does their own podcast called Queue Up with Jay and Justin from their social media side. Two great dudes, good dudes. Well, they were nice enough to invite us out there today for their podcast to discuss. So Nuge and I joined them earlier today and just talked some good old esports, talked about the lingo, all that. Little bit of franchising. Oh, it was a very good conversation. It just kind of went everywhere and bridging the gap between traditional sports and esports. Just a good good old-fashioned conversation. So you could check them out. Obviously, they'll tweet it everywhere. We've retweeted it. So if you want to see it, at The Center Ring on Twitter. And then also at Envy, they've tweeted it out as well. So be sure it's on iTunes, Spotify, anywhere you can find a podcast, it's also there. They'll also upload it to YouTube on Wednesday. So if you want to listen to that, which I highly recommend, because not only is it a good podcast, they're only on episode 5, but you wouldn't know from their content. It's great. Go subscribe to them as well. But also, we're on it. So, you know it's good, or at least subpar at best.
One more other thing I want to pimp out is, if you haven't checked it out, we had an interview last week, at the end of last week, yep, with Ultimate Esports, and we posted that as a separate episode. And man, I felt like that was an awesome, awesome interview. Not from our part, it's just what they brought to the table, their story. So if you haven't had a chance to check it out, that's already up and posted for you guys. I believe that's probably on our YouTube as well.
Yeah. So I updated YouTube. So there's a something that happens once a month.
Tim, you've been doing a great job with YouTube.
Thank you.
I'm proud of you,
thank
bud.
Like, you've been doing a
good
it.
Job there. So definitely check that out.
For those who know, I despise video editing. Despise it. And look at our videos. I don't do much. I really don't. But like, if you go watch the Table Talk video on YouTube and like how I introed it with a blur, right? Like if you saw that, that took me so long to figure out how to even put a blur effect that would like later on fade into the show. That took me so long to figure out and how to do it. And I think Brett was playing the division in the background as I'm sitting in our Discord trying to figure it out. And I'm just, I mean, you guys know me. I'm pretty calm, cool, and collected, right?
So, oh, yeah, 100%. There were only
20 swear words.
I played it pretty good, I think. You know, in retrospect, you know, maybe. Maybe swore a little bit, but that's all. That's all. Our Discord is definitely not family friendly if I'm in there trying to figure out how to edit video.
Or playing a game or general conversation.
No, not any game, just Overwatch.
Anything competitive by nature.
Yeah.
So, but all good stuff. Yeah, so that's on their YouTube. It's also on, I mean, our podcast feed. So if you're subbed to us there, you've probably already saw it. But it is a good, like I said, it's not analyzing any games or teams or anything like that, but it's just good industry discussion. So I highly recommend it, obviously. Let's get into the show, though, because we do have a lot to get to with CWL Fort Worth wrapping up. The games were amazing. As always, I think Call of Duty is a very underrated game when it comes to their tournaments. I do think there are a lot of back and forth, but it's also the banter that makes it great. Luminosity ended up defeating Splice 3-1 in the grand finals, but some of the other major storylines coming from CWL Fort Worth, E-United had a very early exit, leaving, you know, 13th, 16th place, however you want to view it, pretty much last place. They tied for last place in the event. Afterwards, Clayster did release that the team was dealing with some internal issues or even rumors that Clay was going to be, you know, booted from the team and replaced right before Fort Worth. He did go out and say that, you know, and this was prior to the event, saying, you know what, we got together as a team, we discussed everything as adults, and we figured it all out, and I think we're going to do great. Curious to see how the feeling in the room is now that they played really poorly.
Yeah, I mean, they were in the mix with, what, Accelerate, who went through more internal drama than anyone could imagine. And same thing with Midnight Esports, right? These guys were expected to be at the bottom, where United, you know, there were high hopes going in. I don't think anybody thought they were going to win the event necessarily. But yeah, project much better than where they did, and just kind of how they lost too. They got smacked around.
And it doesn't help that they were in Pool D, right? Which is the group of death for sure in this tournament. So like, if you're already having internal roster struggles, like being in that group with Optic and Envy and Team Rec, who ended up being not going into the tournament, no one thought, right? Everyone thought that was going to be the weakest link in the group, but it actually turned out that they were the strongest. So I think going in with roster issues, not the greatest situation to go into for E-United. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with them going into the future. That's been a roster that's, for the most part, kind of always optimistic. So it's kind of curious.
And I don't follow a whole lot of Call of Duty. You know, I watch it every once in a while, but I feel like, when was the last time you heard they've won anything? Right? They have all the talent in the world on the team, and then...
Well, and that is kind of the weird thing, right? They've won... Let's see here. They got second in Las Vegas, right? Earlier in the year, right? But even then, that was one of their best finishes in a long time at an official CWL event. I think they're always top five, right? I when you're looking at, like, if you had to power rank the teams, but I do think that they just struggle for whatever reason.
You feel like maybe in Call of Duty, not winning breeds more toxicity than, let's say, like Counter-Strike?
Well, yeah, because it's
from a competitive standpoint.
It's a year-by-year situation, right? These guys,
and your window's small. Yeah.
They know none of these rosters are permanent. Like, going into a new game each year, it's constant roster shuffles, and even throughout the season. But E-United has notoriously been involved in so many roster discussions. They're always in the rumor mill. Clayster's name comes up a handful of times. You know, JCap hasn't performed to his old self, who is probably not that far from retirement if he doesn't... Duel, and I believe they had a sub. You know, Simp was a sub for him in this event. And so, kind of interesting to see where they go from here. Again, I think I think they end up making changes personally, just because you've had rumors, discussions of it. You say you resolve it, and then you go into event, you know, in this type of fashion, you get smacked 0-3, you know, in back-to-back games by Optic and Envious. You're probably going to make a move at this point. I'm assuming morale is not the highest over there.
And speaking of Optic and Envy, they kind of kicked the tires on their little org rivalry going on here, where during the match between Envy and Team Wreck, which is as I call them because my mouth does not allow me to actually say their full team name, I cannot get it out without getting tongue-tied.
What is it, Anoush?
Reprosity.
Come on. This could be like a little experiment. Like
reprosity?
Learn by doing. Close enough.
Reciprocity? Reciprocity, I think, is how you say it. That's what it looks
reciprocity.
Like.
Reciprocity.
Reciprocity.
Man, this is great.
It is not. No, there's a reason why they go by Team Wreck. Okay, all right.
Hey, look, they're third place. They're not first place. When they get there, I'll figure it out.
Yeah, right. You deserve having your name properly when you get first. I don't learn third place names. Okay.
Ooh, there you go.
Either way, getting to my point though.
Call of Duty competitiveness.
Getting to my point is, they were kind of the darling team of it. Like I said, they were in group pool D with Optic, Envy, and E United. Like, no one gave them a fighter's chance going into it, and they ended up kind of being like the upset king of it all, beating Optic. And then when they were playing Envy, even though Envy was making a comeback, at one point in that match, Crimsic, who plays for Optic, tweeted out that Envy was throwing it. Now, as one would do, he later on deleted that tweet. But we all know, especially if you're Crimsic, when you tweet, you can't, just don't even bother deleting it, because that has been screenshotted 100 times before you even get a chance to be like, no, I didn't mean that. Let's back this up. I didn't mean it. Like, it just makes
it looks
you look
worse,
even worse,
almost, right? Yeah, for real. It really does. Like, it makes you look worse in that situation. And like you said, what's funny is they ended up going head-to-head. And they knew they were, you know, in that situation, they had already, I believe, gone up head-to-head at that point. Mm-hmm. But yeah, they gave us what we wanted, I think, as fans, right? Like, I think everybody was excited for the Envy Optic matchup. I'm glad that it happened in the group stage, because it wasn't happening anywhere else in the tournament, that's for sure. But man, that felt good to see both of them up on stage. You know, they gave them the main stage there. It's something special when two iconic organizations like that, you know, especially in COD, meet head to head. So it's still one to, I think it was like kind of the highlight of the early rounds, in the sense with them facing off.
And it was great, because, you know, they had that, you know, Hastro had that little Twitter bout with Optic and their fan base. And then just days later, Hastro tweets out to the Houston Outlaws, is like, come on, Outlaws, we need you to get into the playoffs. And it's like, what, like 2 days before, he's like having a fight with the Optic fan base. And then, you know, a couple of days later, he's like rooting for the Outlaws, who are associated with Optic. Right. I thought that was kind of funny.
It was a weird weekend between Envy. It was a weird weekend. And Optic. Yeah. Overall, it was definitely a weird weekend. But Anoush, you bring up a good point and a good segue into our next topic here. Because, let's be real, CWL Fort Worth, it was entertaining, but it was not the headlining news for me when it comes to the CWL and Call of Duty for this weekend. Because on Friday, it was reported on ESPN by Jacob Wolf that the going price tag for a franchise in the upcoming CWL franchise movement, all right, is going to be $25 million. More expensive than Overwatch when it first started out being a franchise. Now, Anoush, you bring up historic teams like Optic, like Envy, you know, even guys like E United we just brought up. FaZe has been around. They've made a name based off of Call of Duty. The news and reports, they haven't really came out to be clear on what's going to happen. Like, clearly they cannot handle franchising in Call of Duty the way they did with Overwatch. Overwatch, there was a unique thing where Blizzard never really invested any resources into the competitive scene of Overwatch before franchising really came about, because everyone knew it was happening. You know, everyone knew the Overwatch League was going to start when they first announced it, and it was going to be franchised. So that kind of killed any grassroots growth with the game before it got to that point, where for Call of Duty, you really have the exact opposite effect.
I'm curious to see how many teams this ends up being, more so than anything, because at $25 million apiece, we know there's going to be a lot of headliners in there, right? You can expect your Optics, your Envious, 100 Thieves, you know, maybe it, like United. It would be really some of the big players. But Splice, even then, you know, they dropped out of you know, several leagues at this point because they didn't want to pay a hefty price tag. So I'm not going to sit here.
Do they have a group that's already associated with the Overwatch team? Boston group, maybe?
Splice?
Am I thinking of it? I don't know.
I think so.
I guess it's a kind of applicable to this because, you know, if they are associated with the Uprising, then maybe it makes more sense. Maybe they're not, though.
I would think the hope going into Overwatch League would be higher than it is going into Call of Duty. I mean, the big difference here is we know what we're getting with Call of Duty, right? So this is going to be more of a rebranding effort.
Splice has Toronto.
Okay. This is going to be more of like a rebranding and a new sales pitch that they're going to have to give. Like, they're going to have to do something new to make it worth this price tag. Franchising just isn't enough in itself. It's how are you going to sell it? What are you changing from the game standpoint itself to maybe draw in a larger audience? Because I mean, I just don't see the value. I just don't see where the value comes from when you have to, again, you're going to get minimum contracts right now. A lot of these guys are going to love that fact that's
great. Yeah.
But I just don't know. You know, the $25 million valuation, I guess the only thing I can think of is Call of Duty, with it already being as big as it is, getting branding in terms of sponsors and all that involved probably won't be that difficult because a lot of them are already in place.
It is already established, right? I think that's why the price tag is higher than what it is for Overwatch, because they at least have a track record to show, like, look, we already have the interest, right? We don't have to, like, take a risk on it.
Yeah. And, you know, I don't want to talk about the pros because, you know, Anuj, you kind of covered those. Those are obvious. But I guess the one con that I have with Call of Duty is with Overwatch, when we talked about this, I think it was last episode, where Overwatch can stand the test of time, right? Because of it, you know, just graphically how it is, the game's not going to change. It will stand the test. It's not gonna age poorly.
Well, Call of Duty will do it better than any game because it's new game every year.
But
right?
Exactly, with Call of Duty, that's my point. Like, what if the next year the next Call of Duty game is just god awful, terrible, and it's not a good viewing experience, and you lose, you know, if you lose viewership, don't you lose sponsors? I mean, aren't they kind of tied together?
No, because people are not selling it on a one-year deal, you know? Like, people are looking at the big picture.
Right, but what are they selling it on, though? Like, what's the appeal? Like you said, you know, we know the teams that are going to buy into this thing, but what's the appeal to the team that doesn't?
That's not involved in it now?
That's kind of on the fringe of, God, you know, $25 million, are we going to be able to make our money back, mm-hmm. let alone make a profit, right?
Yeah, I think, like, you're going to have teams like Optic and Envy who are going to do it, like, no matter what, because they have to, right? Like, could you imagine Optic not being in Call of Duty? Mm-hmm. It is, to Brett's point, like, what I'm more worried about are the fringe teams. Now, it could, the positive side of franchising, though, is, like, profit sharing, which could honestly convince those fringe teams to be like, yo, you see all this fandom and success that Optic is having? What if you got a trickle-down effect from it, right? What if you got a little bit of a kickback for the Optic and FaZe clans and the Envy teams in the league? Now, I think what's also going to suck, though, is that, like, we've always praised it with, Call of Duty and really the console scene, is, like, the Cinderella stories, the fact that anyone can play in these tournaments and you have to go through the open bracket to get there, and any team can do it, right? Theoretically, any team can do it. with franchising, much like how I think the negative effect franchising had and the Overwatch League has on Overwatch scene, and you'll hear it from people who are playing the game, like on a competitive level, is like the secondary scene, the second tier scene for Overwatch kind of sucks.
It doesn't pull in a lot of viewers. More to your point, Tim, I mean, a contenders match may pull in 7,000 people, like 10,000 people, you know, watching. And it is. I mean, even from a, and I apologize if you had mentioned this, but I mean, even from a salary standpoint, it I mean, if you're not in the big, if you're not in the big league, if you're not in the big league, you know, maybe that even brings like more controversy for the teams that aren't in the CWL or whatever they call it, the franchise league. Is that going to breed more just shadiness, right, with paying players? Because contenders league, I don't think they have a mandatory salary, right?
No, there's no way.
And one of the big draws, one of the big pros for franchising is minimum salaries. So I'm wondering if this is just going to breed more just, I guess, shiesty.
It's going to be behavior. Interesting because there is definitely a crowd in esports that think that franchising is the devil, right? That you have those people that think it's just the death of esports. This is the end of esports as we know it. And how on earth are we possibly going to keep the grassroots scene alive with these corporate money bags coming in?
I'm on the other end. I do think it'll help Call of Duty for one reason. Call of Duty feels overly like, just feels like a grassroots game still to me, as big as it is. And, you know, as many fans as it has and as much history as there, it still feels very grassroots to me when I watch Call of Duty. Like, I don't know what it is about it. I just don't feel like maybe it's the way the orgs interact. Maybe it's the way the players interact when they're head to head. Like, they have that old school mentality of butting heads and yelling across the room. But it still feels like it's not where it should be, considering the growth of everything else around it. Right. Mm-hmm. So I do think if we're trying to make this a little bit more business-like, I do think this is going to help. Again, my biggest concern is, how many teams do they end up having ultimately? Like, I don't see this being like a 20 team league like you see in Overwatch right now. But at the end of the day, we're not the ones paying those bills, right? Like, these guys are going out. It's not even these owners. Well, yeah, and it's not even like the owners of these current teams are paying these bills either. These guys go out and get, you know, they get a lot of capital, like they get a lot of funding coming their way. So they'll find people that are interested. Just because the numbers that you hear in esports. So I do think it'll have a positive effect. I'm just interested to see more how it changes Call of Duty. Like, what are we going to see? What are they going to implement? How are they going to sell it different than they do now? And that's what I'm more curious to see.
Yeah, because it is going to be different because the grind isn't going to be there, right? Because these teams are grinding pretty much every day, like with their point system. Mm-hmm. Like, how is that going to change the product? Are we going to get a worse product because maybe they don't play as much competitively? And then I wouldn't
mind seeing kind of a system. I think it's possible with the amount of teams that are in there to do kind of like an EPL style of league with relegation and, you know,
but with like, those buy-ins, right?
Like multiple leagues within the league, right? Like you have your top 10 and then you get relegated to the bottom 10 or something like that. And I think for Call of Duty, the other thing is like, and I know we kind of touched on it, is like branding, right? There's no way that you can just all of a sudden, because that was the big thing with Overwatch League, was like, look, you cannot have your brand associated with the name at all. Like, you cannot look at the Dallas Fuel and be like, oh yeah, that's Envy. We all know that. Look at their logo, right? Or look at the name. It's obviously that it's Envy. That was a big deal in the Overwatch League, and Blizzard said like it's just unfair to the teams that aren't popular, right?
Well, aren't and even in esports like the Crafts or something.
Right. Yeah,
like
if it's not even being branched off. But like with Call of Duty, you just simply can't take away the Optic fan base from being fans of Optic.
That
like
would be
I don't
weird.
Care if they if we all know the Houston Outlaws are really Optic Gaming fans, right? It's different. You cannot take away the Optic name from Call of Duty, right? Like, look at how the viewership, how they affect the viewership. The second they were eliminated from Fort Worth, that viewership tanked.
Yeah, I would hope that they don't do that. And I don't think we should jump to the conclusion that that's 100% necessarily happening here either. Like, I'm sure they also are aware of the branding that's behind these two teams and involved. Again, for Overwatch, we have to compare, like, they have to be in different bubbles in terms of how we compare the two, because Overwatch was fresh off the ground. Right. I do get it. Like, I didn't necessarily 100% agree with it at the time. Now, looking back at it, I'm like, oh, yeah, that was, like, kind of a cool move for them to do that. They're not going to treat this the same way. The only thing that I think is the same right now is the fact that they're both franchising. How they approach it, there's a good chance that they allow some sort of, you know, branding to be allowed in terms of having those two names involved.
Yeah, one way or the other, though. They're going to be city-based?
Yeah, like one way or the other, I think. Has that been announced?
Yeah, I think they are going to be city-based, the teams.
See, that's one thing I don't think it needs to be. Like, I get that, and I even discussed it earlier on the Envy podcast, like, having cities tied to your name is great in the sense of, like, instant fan base. Right? Yeah. Like, you have those people that maybe never heard of it, but because it has Dallas in the name, they're like, oh, this is my team. Like, instantly, I don't care how bad they are. I'm from Dallas. This is my team. But at the same time, like, you do have, like, in soccer, right? You do have, like, Arsenal. They're not called the London Arsenals or anything like that. It's, and with, like, the way these orgs already have a base to go off of, I just don't think you have to shake it up as much as people think that they need to.
I do think they end up going city based personally, just because it kind of makes sense, and it's been a good, they can at least use that from the Overwatch League model. Plus, it kind of makes more sense, even though we use Arsenal as the example, like, all those teams are still organically grown in this, like, a particular area, right? Their home stadium is located somewhere.
Well, but you can do that. I mean, everyone knows, you can put Optic in Houston since they have that Houston-based.
Well, that's what
Envy
I'm saying.
Would obviously be in Dallas.
Maybe they don't have the name of the actual, like, city in the branding. Maybe they don't do that, but it's still going to be city-based in terms of wanting home and away games. And
I mean, that's how you make revenue when you franchise stuff, right? You can't have all your teams playing in one place like they do now in Columbus. You know, that's where they travel for. Boy, could you imagine? Overwatch League players get to travel to LA for their games. It's like, guys, don't worry, you're going to travel to Columbus, Ohio. Like, oh yeah, that's cool.
Like, thanks, but no.
You know, and I do think, because, you know, what's their face? League of Legends, Riot, they have franchising in that too. You know, and that's one place that we haven't really discussed either, is that they did it a little differently. They aren't team city oriented or anything like that. So, look, I understand the fear of franchising. I understand the fear of it disrupting what we are used to in esports. I completely think that we should also try to preserve esports in the sense of, like, the tournaments and how you can do an open bracket and everything can be involved there. But I also understand that if, as a community, you want esports to be taken to that next level, if you want it to go on big ESPN or ABC, or hell, you know what? Let's not even bring up cable, because cable's dying and all the kids watch online now anyways. If you want it to have big sponsorship and promotion on Twitch, right? If you want to see more than just the same esports betting ad during a Counter-Strike game 100 times, you have to have big money coming into play, and big money likes franchising, because franchising involves profit sharing and you can show the numbers on how you can earn revenue back. And if you just have every Joe with money coming into this and not franchise, no one's going to sign a contract if you're not also putting something in front of them guaranteeing something. It's just not how big money works. And that's my two cents.
I mean, yeah, I think we're all pretty eager to see ultimately what happens here with this. Like it's going to be, I think it'll be a good thing, but I think we're all just like patiently waiting because it is a little nerve wracking, especially when you hear number. Like I think the number was more the shock value than the announcement of going to franchising. It was just, ooh, franchising. Ooh, 25 million.
Yeah, I mean, that's very ultimately true. this is the only way to stabilize and just grow anyways. So
of course,
I think it's going to be successful. The interesting storyline is going to be the fringe team. That's going to be something to watch. Like, I can't wait to see like what teams actually buy in.
Yeah, I think it's seeing
that's a huge
seeing
risk.
How they take what's already been around forever in the sense of esports and how they work that franchising into it to me will be fascinating. And I think it will also play a very good model on what to do or not to do for other games like Counter-Strike, you know, or possibly Halo if it turns into what, you know, people think it might be or anything like that. So I will say to Zen in Twitch chat, what I said about Columbus was nothing about the people of Columbus. I've actually been to Columbus for the major. It's a beautiful city.
Yeah, maybe if they franchise Rocket League, maybe you can help Cleveland bring home a championship.
Well, and that's another, you know, maybe look at you. We talk about fringe teams. Maybe that's another thing, right? What about these games that, you know, Rocket League would be so easy to franchise into? Given the style of and the way they do it already with the they have a pro league, right? It'd be so easy to franchise. Now the issue is like, okay, are you going to tell people to pay 25 mil for a Rocket League franchise? Like,
no, the price tag would definitely be lower.
And then we say that, but we all thought that about COD too, right? Like,
you're not wrong.
We're told esports is a $1 billion industry, so I guess in reality, 25 mil is a steal.
Call of Duty did make an announcement today, which could break the game, and let's see how it goes. Is they're announcing their new mobile game. That'll be a free to play for everybody. So
a what?
Maybe a mobile game for Call of Duty. Well, so that's... get ready. Maybe they're gonna franchise that next.
Hope for that aim assist like console.
Can't wait to play that mobile game where half of it's bots again. Like,
if I can find time between that and Diablo Immortal, I'll see if I can slide it in.
That's hey man, that's what everyone says.
It's gonna be our Diablo.
Esports is mobile expert. Now. That's what they tell me. That's what they tell me. That will be the one thing I think as old people that we our get off our lawn moment is mobile games, I feel like. I feel like kids have no problem with it because they're just used to playing on their iPad and whatnot, sitting on the couch or at the dinner table. But for like us, it's like, mobile gaming? What is that?
Get off my lawn.
Right? You can't take that serious. So I try not to make fun of mobile games, but as far as like being taken serious, but whatever. Fight me about it. Don't at me. So yes, it will be very interesting to see. And I guess, like I said, this was just recently reported about the franchise tag. So we'll have to wait and see what happens with that. Some things that we do know for sure, though, and that's Overwatch League Stage 1 is wrapped up for their regular portion. We are going to go into the playoffs coming up this week. We're not going to do a full recap of Stage 1 because we just don't need to. There are a few teams, though, that I feel like we should discuss. If you recall, and I want to start off with the best team, in fact. And if you recall, in our preview of Overwatch League, Brett and I highlighted this team multiple times, saying that this is not your normal expansion team. And for a matter of fact, a lot of these teams, right? A lot of the expansion teams, people are like, oh, these are new players. They're contender teams, right? These guys don't even have Overwatch League experience. And yet we said, and people still seem surprised. It's like we don't have any listeners or something.
I know. And I was surprised at the beginning of the season, Vancouver really wasn't getting a whole lot of love from, I think there were some ESPN folks talking Overwatch that didn't really have them. They had them as like a fringe team, I thought, which was kind of weird.
And Vancouver,
because I'll take
Vancouver Titans, like, obviously being former Runaway, which was like the best Korean team in the Contenders League and really just outside of the Overwatch League, right? They could probably go toe in toe. And now we're seeing it that they're 7-0, right up there with New York, who hasn't missed a beat from last year. You know, they're still dominating, which
I mean,
I look and I'll be transparent here, okay? I might pat myself on the back for saying, hey, don't sleep on Vancouver. They're going to be a really good team. I believe, said that New York probably won't perform as well in the GOATS meta. But yeah, foolish me. They're still 7-0.
Yeah, and I had them... I think we both had them winning, right? Or I forget. But yeah, yeah, I mean, I knew they were
well, but
it's just, you know, when you see this at the top of the list, you're going to see Korean team, Korean team, Korean team. I mean, they just adjust better than anybody else. You can always count on, you know, like a top Korean contenders team or, you know, NYXL from last year kind of, you know, coming up short, that they were going to turn things around. I mean, that's just, they adjust.
Yep. And three expansion teams making it, as we mentioned, Vancouver, Toronto, which is kind of a surprise team, and then Atlanta Reign. I will say we are one stage into Overwatch League. DeFran hasn't been suspended once.
If you had to take the, is he going to make it through stage one or is he not going to make it through stage one? I would have taken not.
I would have bet every penny this podcast has made and put it on him getting suspended in stage one.
And he's one of my guilty pleasures on Twitch. Just, I watch him because
he's turned it around, man.
Good. He plays off meta heroes and he's entertaining. I think, I don't know.
No,
maybe that's an unpopular opinion, or maybe it is a popular opinion because he's number one in jersey sales.
Yeah. No, he's turned into a great league ambassador. Like I said, at first, I mean, it was no surprise. I had no faith in him making it through the season. Right.
Let alone stage one. I'm still in the fringe because, like I said, I watch him and I feel like he's like a 4 or 5 game losing streak away from being like, you know what, maybe this was a bad idea.
But it looks like, you know, it looks like he's having fun. You know, for a guy who retired before the league even started and then came back, it does look like he's like, you know what, this wasn't as bad as I thought. So
There's players rooting for him, communities rooting for him, and there are players like XQC that are rooting for him because he's kind of like that polarizing figure. If it can work for DeFran,
make it work. Maybe I can get back.
If it can work for him, maybe it can work for me, right? Like maybe teams will take a flyer on a guy like that. But
why wasn't Vancouver's roster picked up in Overwatch Season 1?
I think maybe it was because they're a young team. And they're kind of up and coming, and they're just you have to also keep in mind Overwatch has an age limit too, so you have to be 18 to play in the league. And I think that
you got to be 18 to watch some of those videos that are out there too.
What?
A lot of Overwatch League promotions. No, it's just fascinating to me to see how much talent was available for Overwatch because three of the top 8 currently. Are expansion teams, right? And traditionally, when you think of expansion teams, you think of bottom feeders, like leftovers, you know, this is what was remaining for you guys. But that really hasn't been the case, at least in stage one. And that's, you know, probably one of the most fascinating storylines for me looking from the outside in is a team like Vancouver was available, and yet you had a team that was winless last season.
Yeah.
So it seems like something was a little bit off there.
And no team will ever admit this, but I do think last year, with being the first year and such, you know, there weren't 20 teams to go through. I do think that some owners were like, look, I can't put a full Korean roster out there if I want people to watch it, right? Like, I do think that there was a reason, like, Florida Mayhem went with a bunch of non-Koreans to start with because they wanted to have some type of connectivity with fans. And they didn't want to fill it up with Koreans.
Yeah, and I feel like maybe that was an oversight by them because the Overwatch fan base really embraces like Korean culture, and that's an oversight. Give me a winning franchise. I can get behind a winning franchise.
Right, yeah, that's what I was going to say.
You
the
want
oversight
a winning
is not the
team.
Korean.
I don't care what my team is if they're winning.
Yeah, exactly. I want a winning team over an all-American team or an all-North American team. Give me a full squad of Korean players, and I will get behind that 100%.
Yeah.
But if you look at the expansion teams that are in the playoffs, I mean, largely Korean players. And that just goes to show the just the depth that that country brings to Overwatch. Yeah. There are still teams in Korea right now and Korean contenders that could compete for a playoff spot if they if they put a top team together, if they just took a lot of the top players. So
we joked about it over at the Envy podcast this morning. By the way, which we were on, so go to at Envy on Twitter and listen to that podcast and tell them TCR sent you. But we joked about it. I don't think we said it on the podcast. I think this was just through chit-chat afterwards that what is the SR conversion rate between NA servers and Korean servers? Like, yeah, I'm a 2900 SR on NA, but like a 1600 SR on Korean servers. Like
the determining factor was we decided it was just a divide by two.
Yeah. Take your SR now, divide it by two. That's what you would be like if you played on a Korean server because they are just so much better. So much better. Some teams, though, that could maybe use a little bit more Koreans if we want to talk about how they're just the magic players to pick up. What happened to the Valiant? Brett, I believe they were a top two.
I had them.
A chance of winning the league?
I will take, no, not a chance of winning the league, but I had them as a middle tier playoff team. And it's not a far... I wasn't going way out in left field when I made that prediction. I mean, it's basically the same team outside of a few players that went to other teams. It's just they had that leadership in Custa, which when they took on Custa last year, it kind of propelled them to the to a playoff spot in season one. So they still had that leadership. They still had their off tank in Fate. Main tank in Fate, the American superstar in Space, and then they picked up Bunny, who's like a world-class DPS player. So you look at the roster and it's like, well, you can make an argument that they actually got better this year than they were last year. So yeah. maybe it's a testament to, I mean, maybe you could chalk it up to just very unfortunate, maybe a few unfortunate losses, but maybe just the talent coming into the league got better and maybe the improvements they made weren't good.
I think you're
enough.
Also looking at just internal struggles too. You don't go from, you know, one of the top teams last year to 0-7 in stage one. You could say whatever you want about the meta. Sure, the meta is not in their favor, but look, even like Florida and even Washington managed to get a win. All right. So please do not come at me being like, well, if you're an LA fan, don't come at me be like, well, it was the meta. Just wait till stage two when the meta changes.
That's when you could throw a haymaker, Tim. That's when you could throw a haymaker and say, well, they were a playoff team and you're in a very identical meta than we were in the playoffs last year.
Yeah.
You made it and you were competitive last year. What happened this year?
Yeah. No, it's bad.
They're the weirdest story for sure.
And then you have Dallas, our local team, which we always have to do a shout out on the show, obviously.
Yeah.
Ended up going 4-3, just missed the playoffs.
Yeah.
They needed some wacky outcomes.
It almost worked out for them.
You can't count on Houston at all. The city, the entire city, not just
and
the Outlaws.
The team.
But the entire city in general. You can't count on that group. But I mean, I have one rant with how the Fuel played their losses this year. There were a few games where they weren't gonna win. They were already down a few maps and it just felt like they were going out and just playing pug strats. Like, okay guys, we're down 3-0. Let's go ahead and, you know, do whatever. Well, that's kind of biting you right now because round differential came into play, right?
Yeah.
So this just goes to show you have to be focused.
You have one, two, three, four, five teams. Five teams ended with a 4-3 record.
Mm-hmm.
Atlanta, San Francisco, Seoul, Boston, and Dallas all had a 4-3 record. All made it through round differential. So, like, to Brett's point, had it just looked like they took those maps a little bit more serious,
mm-hmm.
on games that they've lost, maybe we'd be singing a different tone. And this is the issue, though.
It could be a different outcome.
When it comes to a win and in situation, right? Like, I will say, compared to week number one, I think Dallas played really well. Like, if you are a Dallas Fuel fan, I do think you are optimistic for the team's future. However, you cannot put yourself in a win and in situation, and even more so, your faith in other teams' hands. The fact that you needed Houston to win 3-2, you know, against Atlanta, they shouldn't have gotten to that point. I think when Brett brought up what he saw in a loss, what I always see in a Dallas Fuel loss is there's no adjustments. None.
Yeah.
They really stick with their guns, which is sad because something we said in the preseason in our previews is that they have a deep bench. Like, what are you doing with Mickey and Taimu's just sitting there?
And were they really messed up? And I feel like they made this move way too late. Was the effect. Like, not removing him quicker than they did and just relying on AKM. That's where that's, I mean, I don't like to put it all on just one scenario of why you didn't make the playoffs. There's a lot of factors that go in, like the play of the supports not really positioning themselves well, the tanks not protecting, the tanks, you know, just dying stupidly. But what if they make that move and just say, hey, AKM, this is your show, you know, go out and just be that badass. I feel like maybe we would be in the playoffs right now. I say we, the Dallas Fuel. I'm such a fanboy.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, they're in a much better position this point this year than they were at this point last year, right? They're giving themselves an opportunity. This is a small loss, I guess, is what I'm saying in the scheme of things for them, right? You didn't make the stage one playoffs. You were right there. You were tied with four other teams for that last slot, basically. So you have an opportunity to still make the big show. So hopefully they keep the right mindset moving forward and don't let this be a defeating moment, you know, in the season for them.
And I'll jump off your point here, because that is a good point, Anuj. Like, this is all you did was miss stage one playoffs. But from a grand picture, the fact that they didn't play Taimu and Mickey the whole stage tells you that they played rookies pretty much the whole time through, who played really well. I think you found a new home for AKM and Zarya. He played extremely well on her. And ultimately, and I've said this last year, and I'll say it till my face is blue, stage playoffs are garbage. They're useless. They are a hollow feeling to give excitement throughout a long season. That's all it is. I mean, if you didn't have stage playoffs, Overwatch League would be a very, very long season with a little bit of excitement in between. Other than just you cheering for your team. This has built in, you know, stages where you can be like, oh, great, we made the stage playoffs. Look at that. Well, ask New York how they feel from last year, right?
And like, that's a good point. That's a good point. If the storyline is what it is now, New York or Vancouver are definitely going to win. For their fan bases, it's going to be hollow. But I'm not going to lie, Tim. When it was stage four last year and Dallas Fuel made it in, I was super hyped. I'm
because
like,
that's
okay,
all we
this
had,
is our
though.
Super Bowl.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, if the storyline is the two top teams are in a stage playoff, then I'm just like, whatever.
I'm a Detroit Lions fan, okay? You don't have to tell me about reaching for anything to cheer for.
Tim literally takes the football season in by quarters, right? Like every four games, if they have a winning record, that's a win for the franchise
like,
right
bro,
there.
You see, we had the lead at the half? How about that?
But like, for this, like, I don't want to say stage one playoffs is meaningless. Like, each team will take it for what it is, right? For Vancouver, this could be a huge momentum boost going into stage two. For them, this is validation, possibly being in Overwatch League and feeling a, you know, a feeling of belonging at this point. Where for Dallas, it can be looked at the completely opposite way. Hey, let's not look too much into this. We're still in the big picture here. We gave it a good run. We didn't make it this playoffs, but, you know, hey, we're in competition for where we need to be at this point in the season. So each team will take it as is, you know, for the teams that didn't make it, as long as you're still in contention, that's ultimately what matters. And for the teams that did make it, they're going to look at it as momentum going into the next stage.
Yeah. So we'll see. Playoffs are next week. We'll discuss it next week. Probably we'll do a quick little recap. Mainly, though, I think next week what we're going to discuss more, though, is what to expect in Stage 2 of Overwatch League. Because next week, or is it this week, Brett? This week they're implementing a patch. When's the patch coming out for Overwatch? Is it this week or next week?
I think it's this week.
Yeah. Sometime between now and Stage 2, Blizzard is releasing their big patch to change the way beams work against shields, or armor, excuse me. And Baptiste is coming out. You have a new kind of offensive, attack-happy support. How is that going to play off? So we'll talk about that because we'll have like a week or so to play with the new patch and get a better idea for how that's going to mix with the meta. But
Stage 2 starts in April the 1st. Yeah.
Yep. So
I hope it goes live in the Stage 1 playoffs.
mid game,
everybody has to restart.
They're not
and
WESG.
Go in and play live.
They're not WESG. they can hold off on a patch. So, but that's, I think it's might maybe mix up the meta or at least see what it might turn into. So we'll talk about that next week. But for now,
the hit scan heavy meta. Can't wait.
Well, you might see it with Baptiste's boosting shield, whatever you call it. But let's get into some e-news. We got quite a bit to get to. In CSGO, I can't believe it when I saw this stat. So WESG wrapped up. I don't even know how serious people outside took this tournament. I know we didn't take it serious at all, hence why we didn't talk about it. It was a joke. But Fnatic had their first ever 0-16 in org's history against AGO.
That's crazy just because of how long they've been around. But they've been an amazing team for most of their CSGO history in that sense.
But to never go 0-16, that is insane, dude. That's so impressive.
We just saw it for the first time happen in a major, what, last major, I believe. Not this one, but the one prior to that. I believe it was the first time ever that we saw it.
I think you do.
Yeah, like I feel like 0-16s are still fairly rare to see. It's almost like the triple play a little bit in baseball. Like they happen often enough to where you see them throughout the season, but not something that you would still say is common. So, this event was really only life changing for two teams. That's Wendigo and AGO. Both of them, did get a huge lump sum of money. That's kind of a lot of people discussed going into this is like, man, like in the countries that these teams are from, it was a lot of money. So it was cool to see those two teams succeed. I think overall the tournament was very lackluster. Like nobody, it just wasn't anything special, you know? And then with the client update, the CSGO patch happening mid-tournament, that made an unusual little twist to it since they weren't able to stop that. So that they did play with the live patch change, which was fairly interesting. But G2. Fnatic first ever 0-16, man. That's something.
G2 ended up getting third. Fnatic got fourth. MIBR and Optic were in the fifth and eighth range. I wouldn't look into any of that at all. I don't think any of these guys really had their hearts into this tournament. So it is what it is. I feel like the WESG is always kind of a mess every year. So there's that. Blast Pro Series starts up this week in Brazil. And was it? How do you say it? Sao Paulo.
Sao Paulo. So it's going to be it's an invite tournament. You're going to see a lot of the best teams in Counter-Strike. So if you're looking for some good CS this weekend, this is definitely one you want to catch on to. Blast Pro
on the new patch.
And for as much crap as we give Blast Pro in the past, just for like how they marketed and all that themselves, they put on a really good tournament. Right. So
they've kind of redeemed themselves. Look, the first one they did, they marketed it so heavy, and for it to just to be a bomb of a tournament, they
made
got
for
it.
Fun
they
for have, us, right?
Yes, it was fun for us, and we had to give them crap. But I will say, they have turned around. They're always fun tournaments. I love the way they do the show matches, like where it's like 1v1s and things like that. I think that's
so matches, player cards, the UI, like they do some pretty fun and innovative stuff. So
still
that'll be a good one.
Way of advertising that they seem to just not admit that they pay everyone to tweet out about it. But I digress.
Hey, it worked for Apex Legends. It's working for Blast
right.
Pro.
You know, they paid $1 million to Ninja to play Apex Legends. So look, you could pay people to tweet about your tournament. It worked out.
One thing
now they're fun.
one thing we'll get into next week as we discuss this is also just talking about the meta change, because it really is big and something that's not the norm in CSGO for the way they've affected it. And so I think that's, I'm surprised actually, I didn't even think about talking about it today, honestly. But
we'll
was
be able
a pretty
to see in a real tournament.
Yeah, we'll get a feel for it and how it plays out. But some interesting meta changes, if you haven't checked it out, you know, they've obviously tweeted it out. You can find updates everywhere. We'll dive into that next week.
Probably next week in Overwatch. It was released or announced by the league at South by Southwest that teams will be playing home games in 2020. I will say this, not breaking news if you've listened to TCR. We've been talking about that for a while now, that they are looking at season 3 2020 to be when teams are playing at home. So
almost basically since the league launched.
Good job, ESPN. Bringing that news.
Right.
But no, that's exciting. We've kind of known that for a while now, though. But I guess it's just cool to see the league actually say it and not teams mention it.
Yeah.
Wait.
Can't Tomorrow, wait. Apex Legends Season 1 starts. Has nothing to do with esports, but it seemed like a game that was
very
kind of
highly anticipated. Exactly. And so I think there's a lot of excitement around it. And I'm curious to see now that this is out, you know, they can kind of settle down in terms of doing some updates like quickly to the game to keep it active. And let's see if they do kind of start anything
for like esports-y,
you know, we'll kind of see. But you've seen a lot of teams get signed already. I mean, there's surprisingly a ton of teams
just
already
don't do what Fortnite
ready
did
to go.
Right. And again, I don't want to get bogged down on how Fortnite does it. I think I've turned the page that Fortnite is Epic is doing what they're doing to Fortnite's esports, and it's okay. It's not your traditional esports. I don't know if you'd even call it an esport. It's different. It's different. In other e news, though, you had Final Round happen over the weekend. Street Fighter, you had Punk defeating Momochi in the finals. Halo, I did watch the Halo South by Southwest event where Team Wreck ended up beating Tox Gaming 4-1. They were playing on the Master Chief Collection Halo 3, which is kind of what we said last week, that if it was going to be, or on our, not last week, but on our YouTube video, Nuge, that if it ends up being a success, that you'll probably see Halo 3 be that game that they generally do, which is what they're doing right now for the console version. So we'll see what happens there. Overall, though, Team Wreck having a pretty good weekend. I mean, third place at Fort Worth. You won in Street Fighters and you won in Halo. It's a pretty good little weekend for that org.
We'll give them the TCR Esports Team of the Week Award.
There you go. That is a huge honor. What do they win?
Shout out from us.
a game code.
You'll get a box of you'll get a box of Cheez-Its with your name on it. And in other news, I'll do a shout out for a friend of the show, Brigades, as in Rocket League, they ended up winning the... I'm going to screw this up here. Zen is in our chat, so he'll help me out. They ended up winning the U.S. Army Esports Weekly Rocket League Tournament. I actually did watch that. They ended up resetting the bracket. It was quite exciting. So even friend of the shows are winning in this week's. So if you want to follow them... they are at BrigadeGG on Twitter. Did I say that right? Let me look it up. Can't give them a shout out and screw that up, right? That wouldn't be really professional of me. And everyone knows we're super professional on the show.
Oh, yeah. It's a live look at Tim looking at Twitter.
Zen, boom, hold up. Yeah, BrigadeGG. See, I should have just listened to my initial instincts. I was right all along. So go ahead and give them a follow, as they are winning Rocket League tournaments and everything right now anyways. Oh, he would also like me to tell everyone that they made RLRS play-ins for the second consecutive time as well. Brett, explain.
It's kind of like Contenders, right? So it's RLCS. I think it's like RLCS is like Contenders to Overwatch.
Okay. All right. So it's good.
So it's just another stepping stone to getting to
the pro league.
The pro league. Yeah.
Well, awesome. I'm very happy for that org because obviously they're friends of the show and they deserve it. And they should be on Liquipedia. So go ahead and tweet at Liquipedia as well that Brigade should be on the website. But in the meantime, that is it for the Center Ring. Episode 149 is done. I hope you enjoyed it. I know we enjoyed it. We'll be back next week talking some Counter-Strike. Actually, you know what? Next week will be a very patch-heavy show. We're going to talk Blast Pro Series and how that meta is affected. We're going to talk Overwatch and how that meta is going to be affected. It will be a meta show. It will be a good one, though. That will be all next week. Again, you have two podcasts to listen to this week. Your homework. Listen to The Center Ring. Tell your friends about it. Shout it from the rooftops. Follow us on Twitter at The Center Ring. And let us know you're listening. Let us know what you think of the show. Also, at Envy, they've tweeted out Queue Up, which is their weekly podcast. Anuj and I were on it to talk esports with the boys over at Envy. Go ahead, tweet at them, tag The Center Ring, let us know that you listen to them, and let them know that TCR sent you. I'm sure they will love that as well. Also, it's just a good podcast, so you should listen to that too if you enjoy esports as well.
Way more professional than us.
Way more professional. It's just like this show is about to be over. For Anuj, for Brett, I'm Tim. We'll see you.